thank you, Lord God, for the message that you've given me and you put in my heart. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the one that put in our heart to serve. But you are also the one that meet all our needs, Lord God. And we praise you. And with this message, Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, I'm your servant. And I pray, Lord God, you use me to do your work. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll work in each one of us. We praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, of your truth and your work. And that you work in each one of us, Lord God, that you encourage us, Lord God, and that your goodness and your mercy is with us, Lord God. And we thank of your Holy Spirit here now. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to recap, we are doing emotionally healthy spirituality course at the moment as a church, especially for our visitors. And a part of that course is actually training as we walk with God, as we are being in the church to have a healthy emotionally. And we get at a lot of the truth and we get spiritually, we get fed. But a lot of the time that our emotions almost like in not in a healthy place, then it doesn't match. And then it end up almost like a shipwreck in our own life. And then it carry us, we carry it with us, whether it's in our home or our workplace and church. And it became a very unhealthy church. And, so this course is actually talking about a lot of the different things that we do where sometimes we're not even realizing we're doing it. And today's message, is actually touching a few of the topics. One of them is surrendering to your limits, as well as knowing ourselves, knowing who we are, our being authentic with God, with each other. And a lot of it, that unhealthiness coming from actually we're so on fire for God. We want to serve God. But some of those, we have a wrong mindset, and then it became unhealthy. And I just want to read the scriptures in John chapter 2, 1 to 5. It is actually a scripture about wedding. And Jesus turned water into wine. And it's a conversation between two persons. And then in the servant came in. So I'm just going to read this part. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Her mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And when God gave me this message, and it's like he just highlighted, there's this person with a need. And that's this person that she went to and revealed a need. She didn't actually say, "I need you to give me some wine." She actually make a statement, "We have no wine." So for all we know, it's just a statement. Just like I could say, "It's raining outside." It doesn't mean that I'm expecting you to stop the rain for me. And a lot of the time when we have a need, sometimes we just maybe voice it out. And then we have different people in the group, like if we're talking about church, we could have people with a really say, "Okay, what can I do about that? I want to do something." And then we have people with really mercy hearted to say, "Oh, we'll pray for you." But it would never cross their mind to help you at all. They would just say, "I want to pray for you." And then we will have people who actually maybe almost like a detective mindset, who drank all the wine. What happened? Why didn't you buy enough wine? And then they want to find out what happened so they could actually, almost like maybe like it won't happen again in the future. But in that instant, it doesn't help when you don't have wine. And then you also have, might be people who are just in the background. They don't know what to do and they might not be able to help. So for a lot of the time in the church, a lot of time we actually is thinking of like, "I want to serve God. I want to know God. I want to serve Jesus. I've given my life to Jesus." So when we actually have a, when somebody comes with a statement of, we have no wine, or we have no whatever, you know, no milk this morning, no milk. Somebody ran out and got the milk. And then there was two people brought milk. And there was confusions in there. So as Geraldine was saying, we need order of things. But in this instance, Jesus didn't actually just say, okay, I'll give you some wine or milk. But Jesus actually said, what does this have to do with me? If I said that in church, you come to me with a need, and I say, what's that got to do with me? I'll be offending a lot of people. So obviously it's politically not correct to be saying that in the church. But Jesus said it. So really in a church, it is, we always say as a church, we come together. Jesus meet all our needs, but Jesus do use people. And each one of us, some way or other, God can use us to meet another person's needs. Maybe even through prayers. God put in John's heart this morning to come up and say, let's pray for healing for people. And he came up and we prayed. But God is the one that doing the work. But God do use people. It doesn't mean he has to use people. There are times when we have a meeting, worshiping, and then people got healed. Just lifting their arms, worshiping God. But God do use people. But there are times when we actually have a need. We're so anxious. We're actually almost like carrying the burden. We're so worried about it. And then when I go and talk to somebody else, I might actually almost like wanting people to take my burden off instead of trusting in God. God is the one that take my burden. And then if the other person have a really mercy heart and feeling so sorry for you, they want to carry your burden for you too. So instead of actually one person giving it to God or to a group of people giving it to God, they almost end up carrying the big burden, feeling like, oh, this is so heavy. You know, as we were talking about praying for Adam's cousin or Kyle's dad, we actually could be feeling like this is my burden, but we actually say, no, we're coming together. We're praying for each other. We're believing God. God is the one that carry our burden because he said, come to him. Do not be anxious about anything, but actually pray to him and worship him. Give thanks to him. That God is the one that already, he already given everything to us, and it's us coming together and praying and trusting in God to meet our needs. We were happy when somebody have a need, they come to you, and the other person say, yes, I can help you. But that time when they say, no, I can't help you. So it's almost like we're actually putting so much faith in the other person to be able to say yes to us. But it's actually, we need to actually trust God is the one that said yes to us. And there are needs in the church, like as we're talking about serving. That's actually one of my points in here is there is always needs in the kingdom, you know, in the kingdom. There's always needs. There are always people who have needs, whether it's financial needs or healing needs or needs to the transport needs or needs to help with different things in their lives. There's always needs, but we need to know where do we put those needs. That as a body of Christ, we're not carrying the other person's burden because it belongs to Jesus. He's the one that we trust. And it means that there is okay if somebody asks you to do something and you have to be able to, in a place of saying, yes, I can help, or actually be able to say, no, I can't help, I'm sorry. And sometimes we could be so on fire to serve God, we say yes, 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 yes to everything. And we get burnout. And sometimes we might be screaming, we need help, but nobody's helping. And we get burnout too. And that's a difficult situation. And we have to keep bringing it to God. Lord, I need your help. We need your help. We need your help. Are you, Lord, meet my needs. If we don't know to say yes or no, that means other people are the ones that are controlling us. Our yes and our no belongs to God, first and foremost. It doesn't belong to us. When we have given our life to Jesus, he will put his desire in our hearts. And serving God is his desire. Jesus came as a servant, but he didn't came to serve as a slave. He didn't ask us to serve as a slave. He gave us identity as children of God. So we serve as a child of God. And God is the one that's going to put it in our hearts, time to say yes and time to say no. And in this time, Jesus actually say, my hour has not yet come. There are times when we actually have to say no, like Holly's going away for furlough, for sabbatical, for rest. That means if I'm asking her to do things now, Holly will have to turn around to me and say, sorry, I can't. I'm going away. And there are times in different season, we actually have to understand each one of us owns that because God has given it to us. Our yes and no, God has given it back to us. And we get to say yes and we get to say no. When there is a need, like I said, they will always be there. And there are times when we have to actually push ourselves and say, Lord, I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. But that's only when that is actually the task that God wants us to do. Because if we keep giving and giving and giving, something that God actually didn't ask us to do, we will get burnout. We might be saying like, why is this keep happening to me? And God is saying, I didn't ask you to do that. You were supposed to say no. And there are many things that we do in the church. Yes, we do. We need people to say yes to many things. And we do need to serve. But there are many things that we actually need to say no to. There are times when we actually need to spend time with God. There are lots of the time with especially church leaders. We end up saying yes to so many things because needs are so great. And then we end up maybe burn out because we haven't spent time with God. We haven't had that time. You could actually wake up, somebody call you, can I need help for this? And then you say yes, and going straight after them and going working and helping, serving. Even the disciples, when in Acts, was it chapter 6? They actually have to stop serving, the widows and the orphans, serving the food, so they could devote their time in preaching and speaking of the word of God. So they have to say no to certain things. It doesn't mean they don't care about those people. It just means that we actually, each one of us, God has appointed us different things that we need to do. But until we know what they are, we do actually say, Lord, I am willing to serve you in wherever you want me to be. But we still need to know how much is too much and what is our limit. Especially if we have kids, if we have young kids, there is only so much we can do. Or if there's a season that you're supposed to rest and we end up keep doing and doing and doing. But there are times when we're supposed to be doing, but we're actually holding control to our time. Then we are not serving what everybody else might be serving on behalf of us. So those that yes and that no, first and foremost belongs to God, as we have given our life to him. And then God will give it back to us for us to just say yes and say no. As Jesus said, he will only do what the Father have given him to do. He will only say what he see the fathers say and do. So I don't believe when Jesus did turn the water into wine was because Mary asked him and he felt sorry, said, oh, my mom just asked me to do this. I really should be doing it. The Bible says I should honor my parents. I don't believe Jesus changed his mind because of Mary. I believe Jesus did what the Father told him to do. And that gives us power to live the life that God has given us to live. When we don't own that yes and no for our lives, other people will be driving our lives. It wouldn't be God. And when we say we have given our lives, it's God who put in our hearts to serve. Now, with Mary's response, that's more interesting. When somebody say no to us. I know when people say no to us, to me sometimes, I say, how dare you? Or sometimes when people say no to me, I'm thinking, no, don't say no, I really need that. You know, and it could happen in a house, in our home, families. It could be in workplace. Your boss might be the one that keep asking you to do loads of things. Especially now we live in a society that performance is almost like the main focus, to be the best, to earn more money in a company. You want to have the best. Even in school system, like they strive to be the best in the county. Like my boys' school, they keep the principal keeps saying, we are one of the best in the top school in County Waterford. But it actually reveal it, how they actually really drive the kids to perform, to study. And sometimes they might not be able to. And it puts a lot of pressures. And then you get that in companies too. You know, if you're able to do it, your boss just actually end up giving you more to do. He doesn't say, well done, you deserve a break. Let's just take ease off now. I think we're okay. Most of the companies, when you're able and you keep saying yes and you're doing a good job, they just give you more. But you get that in church too. In church, a lot of us, when we actually desiring to serve God, we actually feel if I don't say yes, I'm being disobedient to God. There are times when I actually say, no, actually, this is my limit. Sometimes people feel guilty when it's that guilt is actually from the enemy. The enemy is accusing you and saying like, how dare you say no to God? And we actually say, no, that's actually not from God. God actually I'm supposed to walk in peace and joy. I'm serving. I feel like I'm a slave. Then we know that actually that thought is actually from the enemy. Like I said, God called us to serve, but we're not serving with a slave mindset. A slave has no choice. A slave, you will keep serving. You will keep working. You don't get any, I don't know, I've never been a slave, but I can just imagine it. You've been constructed. You feel like you have no choice anymore. You feel like you have no life. You keep giving and giving, and that was it, your purpose. Instead of your purpose is this, a child of God. That's a totally different mindset that we need to know who we are in Christ. And as we actually have our time with God, God is the one that's going to put seeds in our hearts, the desire in our hearts of what is it that he wants us to do. And then God is going to be the one that actually giving us those callings and giftings. Like for the disciples, if they keep on serving in the soup kitchen, they're not fulfilling the purpose that God has given them. And we can be serving in the wrong places. And we're crying out to God, what is my purpose? And when God is saying, you need to stop doing what you're doing now and come and spend time with me. Like Mary and Martha. Martha was serving in the kitchen. She has a servant heart. But she does need to actually sit at Jesus' feet. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with the book, The Five Love Languages. One of the love language is serving. If that is your love language, you need to be really be careful in how you express your love. Because we love. That is actually one of my actually four of the love languages, very similar numbers in me. So serving is actually one of them. And I just find that for people, serving is their love language because they express their love to God and to people through serving. They might not be aware when they're giving out of emptiness because they're not being filled. They need to actually be able to sit and let somebody else serve them. And that's very important. And we talk about people get burnout in church. People in ministry get burnout. Leaders get burnout because a lot of those leaders actually have a really great servant's heart. They love. They love and they love. And they give and they give. But we can only give what we have. If we're giving out of what we don't have, eventually it's just going to burn us out. So for people to say no to us, that's a healthy place. Now, for Mary actually didn't argue with Jesus, didn't say to Jesus, I'm your mother, you're supposed to do what I say. Now, this is a mother and a son situation, but it could be husband and wife. It could be your church leader and, you know, one of somebody in the church. It could be in the company. It could be brother and sister. It could be anybody. So with Mary didn't actually just use her mother authority and say, no, you have to do something. And she didn't quote Bible verses and say, you know, honor your parents or servant hearts. And, or keep persuading, you know, like Mary could say, I really sense the Spirit of God is on you. You're so gifted. I actually feel the anointing that something's going to happen. I really sense that God is doing something in you. You have that gift, the gift of miracles. We can do that sometimes too. We can sense something. In our spirit, somebody have that giftings, but we also need to know the timing of it too. And also, obviously there are other times when before we're believers, we might be really frustrated if we're really fearful of our needs not being met. We might scream or we might blackmail, all sort of things. Apparently Christian don't do. None of us do, I'm sure. But we know that it's all coming from a broken, emotional, not actually knowing God is the one that meets our needs. So Mary didn't do any of this. I love her response in this when God revealed to me is she actually turned to the servants and said, do whatever he tells you to do. That's actually giving a complete control back to Jesus. You are in control of your life. So now it's up to Jesus to say yes or no. And Jesus is the one that will do whatever the Father tells him to do. So in our church, each one of us, we are servants of God. So if I'm telling you, you know, I'm asking you, let's say, Mick, I have these needs. And then I turn and say, just do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Because you're a servant of God. And I respect you as brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is me giving you responsibility of you seeking God, whether it's God telling you to do this, yes or no. So in a church, all of us, we are servants. So whenever somebody have a need, I'm giving you the power to say, just do whatever Jesus tell you to do. And we all have that. We all have that power. And I would just like to actually really honor the people who's been serving in this church and really honor Megan Trish came and did a worship for us. And, I was told you guys been a Christian for 40 years? So he's been serving God 40 years. So I just want to honor you guys and thank you for coming and doing the worship for us and wanting to give our worship teams a break. And I want to thank you for all those people who's been serving God many years. I want to honor Steve too. He was the pastor of a church and he was serving many years and he was working full time and also pastoring at the same time full time. So he actually didn't really have many hours free when he was pastoring. As his wife, I see his frustration. I see the pain of it, of when he needed help. And a lot of the time people say, no, they can't do it. And it hasn't been easy for all those years. I would like to honor those people who's been serving and giving so much, so much, so much, so much. And part of this message is really asking also people willing to step up and give your yes and no to God. Whether you are willing to actually start saying yes to Jesus. I said yes to Jesus. I want to serve him many years ago. But I know that I can't do the work that God called me to do on my own. This is our church. It's not my church. It's our church. So collectively, we serve God together. And we're praying for many people to give their life to Jesus. We're praying for more people to come to the church. So we are trusting in God to bring the people to serve together. It might not be just us here. We might all be feeling like I'm already giving everything I could, which is great. So Jesus said, just pray. The harvest is plentiful. Pray for the laborers. And we collectively, even if we can't say, yes, I will want to help in this or that, we can actually say we can pray because the miracles come from God. The miracles come from God. The miracles not necessarily come from all of us giving more and more. It might be just collectively we're praying, Lord, the laborers are few. And God bring the miracles. And just as Jesus turned water into wine. That is the miracles. And for all of us, as I say thank you, honoring you for serving. I'm also saying, if you actually don't have that in your heart to serve, I'm praying God will put that in your heart. Would you be willing to give your life to Jesus and say yes to him to serve him? And for those who's been serving a long time and you're feeling tired, I'm saying, it's okay to say no. It's okay to take a break. It is okay to take time out. God has given us that permission. And we also, let's just pray together and ask God to give us the help and the needs. So let us pray and give thanks to God. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you. We glorify your name. Once again, we thank you, Lord God, that you are the one that meets all our needs. You're the one that make a way where there's no ways. You're the one that who is the miracle makers. You're the one that bring healings. You're the one that give us giftings. You're the one that meets every needs that we have. Even a need in a church for servants' hearts. And you're the one that who put that in our hearts to serve, Lord God. So in our watch, no one will get burned out because we weren't willing to serve. Lord God, we want to serve, But in your condition, in your term, we want to serve because you call us to serve, not because the enemy put guilt and shame in us and forcing us to do it with a slave mindset. Lord God, cause us to serve you and serve the body of Christ as a child of God. That we serve with power and authority that you have given us. That we have permission to say yes and we have permission to say no. We thank you, Lord God, of as you, using each one of us, you will direct us our path. That as we are faithful in the little, you will increase the giftings and the responsibility and the desire that you have put in us, the calling that you have put in our hearts. Just as the disciple, when they say yes to Jesus to follow him, they didn't know what they were going to be doing 4 or 5 years down the road. So Lord God, today we come together, Lord God, we say yes to you. This is your church, Lord God. You're the one that building us, Lord God. Lord God, let our church would not have anybody get burnt out because we're all willing to serve each other. And put us in the right places, Lord God. That we don't feel we have to serve because nobody else is doing it. That we can serve because we love. And we praise you and we glorify your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's no serving too small in the kingdom of God. I remember reading a testimony of actually a pastor, but he was writing from how he was, like his testimony. Like I said, he was a drug addict, and when he first got saved, the power of God just came to him. He just had that burning desire within himself to serve God. So he went to the pastor, the leaders in the church, and said, "I want to serve God." And he was thinking of maybe they will get him to preach. I'll start teaching. He was like a Christian for a month. Still have struggle with drug addiction type of thing. But he was really shocked when the pastor said, "Yes, you can do greeters." He was offended for a while. But then afterward, he said, "No, if I'm going to serve God, I'm going to serve God with all my might. I'm going to be the best greeters in the whole kingdom of God." So he practiced in front of his mirrors. How to smile, how to shake hands, how to say, "Hello, how are you?" And he said that, "I just want to serve God." And he's thinking of like people coming to the church. I might be the first smile that they see in that week. I might be the first hug, the only hug that people will get when they come to church. I might be the only people actually talk to them and say, "How are you?" So he put it in his mind and said, "I'm going to serve God with the best ability that I have." And he did. And he smiled. He shook hands with people, give people hugs, and really talk with people. And from that, his servant heart, God kept growing in that in him. So when he wrote the books, he was a pastor of a church, leading his church. So it's no task too small. So we do have a sign-up list that Geraldine has for greeters. We can all smile and welcome people. And many of us can make teas and bring milk and fruit as well. And that's really great. So I do thank you for all those people who's been serving. And Steve would like to share something.
Just a quickie. A couple of thoughts came to mind. Well, a lot of stuff was racing through my mind as Lori was sharing anyway, but Jesus is our example of an emotionally healthy spirituality. He's also our example of an emotionally healthy servanthood. And the thought that came to my mind just now as Loretta was sharing there, emotionally healthy servanthood comes out of emotionally healthy spirituality. Lorinda's absolutely right. You can work yourself to death in church. Or you can serve out of a healthy place. I really encourage you. Seek the latter. Seek the latter. Okay? Saying yes out of fear of what the consequences may be if you say no is not a right response. Saying no out of an unhealthy emotional place is also not the right response. Okay? I'm talking to someone who's been there. And I'm so grateful that I can actually stand here now, because I don't think I could share that in another church. You guys have seen what I've been through, and I thank God that you've stood there with me. All right? Okay, but Jesus is our example. Okay? I've learned to say no for the right reasons. I can say no now because I still love, not because I'm angry or frustrated or anything else like that, okay? But I can also say yes because I'm confident of my identity and what God is put in me. And that's where I'd like for each one of you to be as well. And you have a wonderful example of that here in Lorinda.
So, that's it, our message for today from God. He put that download to me. Funny conversation between a mother and a son with Jesus and Mary. It just reminded me of all the conversation I have with my sons and their teenagers. Sometimes I have to persuade them to do things instead of just say, just do what Jesus tells you to do. And try not to guilt trip them, and try not to say, you're so gifted in this, my son. I can see that you can do this. You're awesome. You'll be able to do it. So I have to learn when they say no to me. And I also have to learn when Steve said no to me. There are times when he said, I can't do it. And we all have to go through that. We all have to learn to accept people's yes, yes and no. And we all have to learn to be able to be the one that say yes and no. So let's grow in this together in the kingdom of God and be healthy servants as a child of God. Amen. Amen.